Let's get back to Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Once again, here are Jim and Randall.
You know, when Staccato plays music like this, it needs to be Jim Randall and Al Jarreau.
That's right.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
I'm Jim Hartman.
And I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
We just wanted to make sure. We wanted to be doubly correct.
Well, we wanted to know who was whom.
That's right. All right, now, we have just a few moments left for you to call the show. It's December 8th. We're live today. Of course, it's 4 until 5 on the east, 3 until 4 in the central, 2 until 3 in the mountain, and James on the Pacific, it's
1 to 2.
Exactly right. He never misses, ladies and gentlemen. You can reach us at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. That's toll-free, and you get what you pay for. Anywhere in North America. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take questions from our loyal listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right, before you break into a rap, let's take our first question. Are you ready?
I am.
Here we go. Questions from listeners. Albert, from your hometown in Brooklyn, New York, writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what can I do about a neighbor that lets his property and home become an eyesore?
Nothing. I mean, he's
don't
saying
look.
Eyesore. You, yeah,
in other
it.
Words,
don't look.
He's let it, you know, like the trees are falling down and the grass is overgrowing.
Unfortunately, this has come to court before.
It has.
They have had certain things about one person in a neighborhood doesn't cut his grass. So you got all the houses with nice lawns. And his grass is 18 feet high, full of weeds and everything else. There's not much you can do about it, as far as I know. Now, that I'm giving you my recollection from that particular case. And however, it could be that in other areas it is so. And also, there may be homeowners associations which have rules about how you have to keep and maintain your premises. Also, it can be deed restrictions that would require you to maintain the premises in an orderly and kempt manner. So it really is difficult for me to say, but ordinarily, what I would say if it's an eyesore,
yes,
don't look. Don't look.
I mean, he could go over and say to his neighbor, look, the place looks terrible. You're driving property values down. Yeah. Of course, now it doesn't matter. Nobody can buy a house.
That's right. Oh, keep your fingers crossed. Maybe they'll foreclose on this guy, and somebody will come in and do it nice.
Cut the lawn.
Right.
All right, Albert. It. There you go, buddy. Thanks for writing that message. Dean from Minneapolis, Minnesota writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is the difference between libel and slander?
That's a good question. We get it very often. The generic term for both is called defamation. That means you defame somebody.
That's right. Defamation of character, if you have any.
You're going to let me answer the question, or you're
going
to keep interrupting with those impossible blurps?
Okay, sorry.
That the simple answer and the only answer is, slander is oral, and libel is written.
If I call you a big fat guy, it's slander.
If you write him a big fat guy,
it's libel.
Libel.
If it's not true.
That's right. Oh, by the way, truth is an absolute defense.
Uh-huh.
Strangely, truth is a defense to any defamation.
All right.
So
if you are a big fat guy,
you can be a mean guy and call me a big fat guy. The fact of the matter is that it's not true. I'm a little fat guy.
No, you're not.
So that's the point.
I didn't mean it literally.
No, I thought you did.
I meant it figuratively.
Well, I mean, then
because your figure is pretty scary.
Give me a kiss. All right. But that's
okay.
Really the,
there you
the,
go.
The difference is very clear.
Yes.
Libel is written. And now, you may say to me, what about a movie? What about a television show? That's very good. And that question does come up. And I can't give you a definitive answer because it varies from place to place as well.
Okay.
But however, it is held to be defamation. Doesn't excuse you.
Right.
And so, you know, however, the rules for defamation are very, very, very strict because of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution.
You get a lot of protections.
In the United Kingdom, there's a lot of libel and slander suits. In the United States, very difficult to bring one. But that's it.
And they just yell at each other with an English accent.
That's right.
And then they get sued. Perfect. Okay.
Okay.
Luke from Phoenix, Arizona. Dear Jim and Randall, does the Second Amendment of the Constitution support the right of individuals to keep and maintain firearms? And
this
is a
just had this case, which was
case.
Heller against the, I forgot whom, the District of Columbia.
District of Columbia.
The District of Columbia had a very strict rule. There was no way you could have a handgun there.
Nope.
So that the Supreme Court of the United States said, hold on, that's not the first time this question had come up in this way, that they actually had to answer, is it an individual right?
Yeah, this was
let me read the amendment.
This is a landmark case.
It was a landmark case. Now, this is I'll read you the amendment. It's very short. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And there's a comma after the right of people to bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Now, what does that mean?
The reason I read these commas is because some people say those commas have a tremendous effect on what this means.
Okay.
To me, it means no question that there is an individual right. Why? Because elsewhere in the Constitution, when they want to say an individual right, they talk about the people.
Right.
When they want to say a state right, in other words, that it really means you only have the right to bear arms in an organized or government or state-sponsored militia, they would have said the state.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's clear to me that it's not. However, the court did not determine whether some reasonable regulations are permitted or not permitted, and that will probably come up in some future day. But we do know now that the right is an individual right subject to permits or whatever
Of course.
The different places have.
It has to be a rational rule.
Well, it is. But, you could say this. What kind of arms? Can I own an AK-47? How about a bazooka? How about some torpedoes? Well, it doesn't really say you can't.
No?
It says a well-regulated, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed.
So I can buy a tank.
Infringed means not only, it means you can't even, infringed means you can't narrow it.
Right.
It would be infringed. So maybe I could have a tank.
Mm.
Or a howitzer. I knew Mrs. Howitzer. She was a wonderful person. She had matzo balls. Mrs. Howitzer's matzo balls.
And she's putting the soup,
and they
right?
were beautiful, right.
That's where you put them. That's the best.
And they were terrific.
That is the best.
Mrs. Howitzer was one of the best cooks in the world.
Now, do you know?
And her husband was a bum. What?
Anyway, I was going to say the last time I had matzo ball soup was last week in Fox's Delicatessen.
Oh, you did? Did you?
Yeah,
did?
It was very good. Mrs. Fox makes a hell of a matzo ball soup.
She does.
All right. Bill from Los Angeles writes, Dear Jim and Randall, should I get a second opinion before I start a lawsuit?
Well, it's hard to say, really. It's very often you go to a doctor and you want to get a second opinion if he recommends surgery or some radical kind of thing.
Right.
In this situation,
the only thing being cut out is your pocketbook.
That's right. I don't think, really, when it comes to the law, that you need a second opinion, unless, and let me put it this way, if the case is one in which it's going to cost you a lot of money, win, lose, or draw, I think maybe you would want a second opinion in those circumstances. You know, the issue may be one that's complicated, and the lawyer says it's going to be a very expensive lawsuit.
Right.
Pop, you want to get another opinion. Frankly, I don't know any lawyer these days is going to tell you it's not going to be a very expensive lawsuit. Pop, 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 pop.
Okay.
Because
all right.
That's the way it is.
There it is. So you're on your own, Bill.
Okay.
Pat from look at this. Butte, Montana. I love
Butte, Montana.
Dear Jim and Randall, do you agree that we need to...
State.
Well, listen to this interesting. I didn't know we had illegal aliens in Butte. It's too cold. He says, do you agree that we need to deport all illegal aliens, especially those that commit crimes?
Well, if they commit a crime, there's no doubt about it. They should be deported, or they should go to prison like any other criminal. But just to say that all of them, how can we deport 12 million illegal aliens?
Not
where
hard
are you to find.
You can't, and you got to
so
find
I
them.
I think
right.
that you have to make some distinctions between those who behave properly and want to become citizens, and you set them off on the path to citizenship. If they've committed crimes, they're criminals. Not only do they not qualify to become citizens, but they ought to go to prison. And if they get out of prison, send them away. Deport
right.
them.
Okay.
So that's my answer.
That's a good
I think
answer.
There are many who are here, and we just can't handle the deportation of everybody in sight. So let's start them on the road to citizenship.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Betty.
Now, if they're from Morocco, you might want to put them on the road to Morocco. I don't know if that's if they're bad people.
Only if they
we're
know Bing Crosby.
On the road to Morocco.
Who's that? Bing Crosby and
Bob Hope.
Oh, yeah, Bob Hope. They're going to be with us, by the way, for our Christmas show this year.
Are they?
Coming back from the dead.
They're both dead. That shows you the kind of show we're going to have. It's very lively.
It'll be very lively. Betty from Naples, Florida writes, Dear Jim and Randall, do you agree that the New York City Police Department can search subway passengers without a warrant.
This may surprise you because I'm a lawyer.
Yes.
And I do believe in civil rights, but I am afraid to say I think they should be able to. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because the situation is so serious now with these potential terrorists and potential. I mean, it's a major thing.
Right.
The subways in New York carry hundreds of thousands of people every day.
And there's some threats against them.
And there have been threats. This is almost like that, you know, well, it's more readily answerable than the detention thing. It has to do with a lot of this National Security Act where we have wiretaps and there's big discussion about that. But I believe under the circumstances of today, because there is what we call a clear and present danger. And by the way,
I saw that movie.
A clear and present danger is a reason to moderate the constitutional protections to some extent. I'm not saying wildly, but the clear and present danger is the language the court used. And I think that there is a clear and present danger. Today, witness September 11th.
Yeah.
Witness what happened in Mumbai. Witness
in what? Mumbai.
Mumbai.
You blew your nose while you said that.
They used to call it Bombay. But Bombay is Mumbai when you have a cold. Bombay. See, you say it fast. Bombay.
Oh.
Bombay. Mumbai.
Okay.
If you're a traditional Indian,
yes,
you would say Mumbai.
Mumbai.
Sahi.
Okay.
Right. So Mumbai.
Yes, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din.
That's right.
All right.
He is.
Are you done with Mumbai?
No, I'm not. I just wanted to say
that. Finish it up quickly.
The threats there, the Spanish subway, things that have gone on, certainly in my mind, would justify that kind of thing.
All right. Well, so that's actually a very good question, and it's very timely.
And it's very timely.
And if you're traveling in New York City on the subways, you wouldn't care if they stopped a few guys and asked a few questions.
Absolutely.
All right.
I mean, come on.
Okay. Well, folks, it takes us right up to this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to 19-year-old Philip Saunders for stopping two plainclothes police officers and asking them to check his crack pipe to see if it was working.
Our information has it that the pipe was working and the crack was real. Mr. Saunders was arrested on the spot. However, his problems didn't end there. After he was released on bail, he tried to siphon gas out of a parked car. He unfortunately forgot to ask permission from the detective sitting in the front seat of the unmarked police car. I mean, these guys are...
This guy's got problems. He has a lack of good judgment.
He has a lack of anything.
Oh, we got to have him on the show as a guest.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, he seems to act the way we sound.
Right. Loony. Anyway, let's introduce our crack crew. Of course, our orchestra leader, Professor Stanley Staccato.
And our meteorologist, Gail Forst.
Our sports reporter, Crash Dugenhausen.
And our studio engineer, rollicking Randy Meyer.
Our producer and president of the whole operation, Chris Confounded All Whitting.
And our sound effects specialist, Horatio Heart Attack Wingate.
I love Horatio.
Yeah, he's a hell of a guy.
Our technology advisor, Ms. Laverne Lazzarino.
Our legal historian, Sir Edward Faldisham III.
He's from England, isn't he?
Yes, absolutely. United Kingdom, you know.
Really?
Oxford, you know.
Oh.
Yes, always wears the shoe.
Our hair and... I can't talk after that. Our hair and makeup specialist, Miss Georgia Peachfuzz.
Our medical advisor and professor of proctology, Dr. Seymour Guts.
I love Dr. Seymour. Director of Impressionism, because we always want to make a good impression, Mademoiselle Camille Au Contraire.
And our Italian limo driver, Mario Just in a Time.
Each week, ladies and gentlemen, he gets us to the studio
Just in a time.
Well, folks, you managed to waste another perfectly good hour listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them, but we do appreciate it. And we look forward to talking with you live again next Monday right here on Talk Zone. Have a great week. Remember, be kind to your neighbors, and no matter what happens, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, folks, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.